Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 14. I doubt that. Distrusting God. Any of us can go through times of doubting God. We can have difficulty trusting for a variety of reasons and at different seasons in our life. It's a human dilemma when we don't understand or trust the sovereign ways of the one true God of the universe. Just a few reasons we might doubt. Our doubt can be rooted in our emotions. Then we don't believe God cares. When situations don't make rational sense to us, we can doubt God's wisdom. Or when we can't see God answering our prayers, we don't trust He listens. We can doubt God when He doesn't meet our expectations and our disappointment turns into distrust. When we see or experience human suffering, we doubt God's love. When we don't see justice and life is unfair, we don't believe God has power. When circumstances don't change, no matter how hard we try, we doubt God is willing to help us. When Christians are confused, they can lose their confidence and trust in God's sovereign ways. There are many more personal reasons for doubting and not trusting. What are yours? What causes you to doubt? Why do you struggle with trust? How is your faith shaken? One thing we can be sure of is God's unconditional love for us during times of doubt. Even when we doubt our love for God, God never stops loving us. Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These verses list major reasons for us to doubt and not trust God because of the horrific circumstances, and there are more that could be added to it. Hardships and trials will test us and can cause us to doubt, but it is God's love and faithfulness that gets us through it. We might not understand that, and in our times of mistrust, we don't see the power that God's love has. This is what gets us through our darkest moments of doubt, whether we see it, feel it, or understand it during those times. Let's take a look at a story about a disciple of Jesus that struggled with doubt. He insisted on proof before he would trust what the other disciples were telling him. He even made the statement, "Unless I see, I will never believe." Doubting Thomas. John 20, verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." When Jesus told doubting Thomas, "Do not disbelieve," he was telling him, "Do not be faithless." In other words, don't have less faith than you need. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Instead, do this, believe, have faith, trust, simply trust without the proof." So it appears trust is a choice we can make, but it doesn't mean we can't ask for help when unbelief is there. Mark 9, verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." This is a verse believers can identify with. The story of Jesus telling a desperate father that wanted healing for his son, which Jesus was going to give him if he believed. The father submits what faith he has, but also along with his doubt. And that's why he says, "Oh, help my unbelief." God understands our limitations. The Greek meaning of the word help, as in help my unbelief, means to bring comfort or aid. In saying, "Help my belief," the Father is proclaiming, "Bring me comfort in this situation. Come to my aid. Help me in my disbelief." This Father may not understand the totality of Jesus' power and authority, but he trusts Jesus' heart is like that of a loving Father. So, here we are, back again to believing in the love of God and Jesus, even if we are having difficulty with trusting in what is going on in various situations. Trust is an act of the will regardless of the reasons we have to doubt God, doubt his word, and doubt his wisdom. As with doubting Thomas, we might start out with doubt, but we can walk away from it as we go more and more toward having trust. Having faith, trust, or belief is not about blind faith. Rather, trust in God is a decision made because of the belief he is all-powerful, all-wise, and all-knowing. Therefore, why wouldn't we trust in him? What else are we going to trust in? Who else can we trust? Regardless of our understanding about situations, what truly matters is that God understands all situations. We don't have to. We only need to trust he is in all situations, working them for the eternal good, whether we see that or not. God sees it. And that's what truly matters. God is worthy of our trust because Psalm 119, verse 68, "You are good and do good." Psalm 18, verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect." And that's why it is said, God is good and does good. Otherwise, if we don't believe this, we think God is a liar in what he declares about himself and his word. So why would we trust in God that makes mistakes and doesn't know what he's doing? Distrust is more about not trusting in God's perfect character, which is shown through his perfect wisdom and ways. Faith is more about who God is instead of us understanding what he does or doesn't do. Confident Christians. God never said, life would be easy, or we would like what goes on in life or understand all that happens. God never said we would not struggle with our thoughts, feelings, reactions, and trusting in Him. He understands all the reasons why we struggle with doubting Him. Therefore, He gives us His answers through the Scriptures on how to overcome all that seeks to overcome us through doubt and mistrust. Confident Christians get their confidence from believing in the Scriptures. We can be assured Satan wants to devour us with disbelief. Remember how he sowed seeds of doubt in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say this? Then we go down the path of eating the apple of all kinds of reasons and ways to doubt God. Satan wants to steal our trust in God, to kill our security and stability in God, and then he can destroy the potential we have to powerfully glorify God with our life. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and that is you. John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's do practical application time. 4 tools to embracing trust. First tool, look at the sky. Second tool, persistent prayer. Third tool, gear up for the battle. Fourth tool, choose to trust. Here's some more details about the 4 tools to embracing trust. First tool, look at the sky. We don't need to have doubts arise in our hearts when we simply stop. Look up at the sky. Look all around and see all that God has made in this world. If God was wise enough and powerful enough to create an entire universe and all that is in it, why do we need to doubt that he also has the wisdom and the power to deal with everything that goes on, whether we see this or understand it? We will never be able to wrap our little human brains around the vastness of God's reasons for why he does or doesn't do something. What causes us to trust is when we admit we don't and won't understand the same way God does. All that really matters is that he understands. He knows what is going on and why he does or doesn't do something. Is that good enough for us? Or do we want more? When we start to doubt and want more understanding, then we can just stop and look up at the sky or look at all the good things God has created around us. Watch a video on the vastness of the oceans and all that is in them. There is so much that surrounds us that is evidence of the greatness of God. Sometimes situations in life are anything but great. And that's what can lead to mistrust. But the bottom line is, it's our choice to distrust or to trust. Either God is good or he is not. Either God is wise or he is not. Either God will eventually work even the worst of situations into something of good purpose for the sake of eternity, or he delights in sufferings without any purpose. Which route of belief will you take? Romans 1, verses 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Luke 24, verse 38, Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Second tool, persistent prayer. God doesn't allow things to happen just because He delights in seeing us doubt. What God delights in is us being persistent in talking to Him when things cause us to doubt. Life has a threefold effect. God always does His part. Satan does his, and we can choose to do ours. God is willing to hear our prayers and is waiting for the perfect time and way to answer those prayers. But Satan is involved too. Satan wants to deceive us, so we doubt. He tempts us to focus on why we should doubt instead of why we should trust, and then we waste time thinking thoughts of doubt instead of praying for God to help us to trust in Him and all His ways. And then there is us. We have a free will. Do we want to put that freedom into doubting God, or that freedom into trusting Him? So when all is said and done, regardless of how Satan tries to pull us down, and even though God is all-powerful, do we choose God? Do we choose to trust Him? Are we persistent in prayer every time those seeds of doubt start to get planted in our minds? Do we pull those weeds out? Or do we allow them to grow until we have a whole garden of doubt weeds that are utterly useless? We have the opportunity to plant whatever seeds we want in our mind. We have the free will to get rid of the seeds that will become harmful. We have the free will to water whatever seeds we plant. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Christianity is all about the grace of God. God continually gives us good things that we don't deserve and salvation we can't earn. But Paul, in the New Testament, states the grace of God does not eliminate the principles of choice and the consequences from those. While we are on this earth, we will have all kinds of decisions to make, which will bring along with them results for good or bad. When we use our free will to make choices that are against God's ways, then we must not think because of God's grace, we will not suffer any hardships because of our choices. To believe this means we mock God and His ways. When it comes to doubt, if we choose to continually walk in it, then we will reap the consequences. We will have more and more turmoil, unrest, instability, insecurity, worry, anxiety, fear, and the likes of these. When we choose to let the doubt go and hold on to trust, no matter how small that might be, then that gets us on the road to inner peace and tranquility, being stable and secure in the promises of God, and holding on to praying instead of talking to ourselves about why we need to doubt. The key for persistent prayer has a lot to do with retraining your brain. Doubt is when we train our brain to go to the negative side of thinking. Retraining our brain means we must let go of that type of negativity and instead immediately pray. Persistent prayer is when we ask for God to help us during times of doubt instead of dwelling on the doubt every time we start to doubt. The more we are persistent in choosing prayer to help us overcome doubt, the quicker our brain will go down the route of trusting in God, regardless of what is going on around us. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Psalm 27, verses 13 through 14, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Third tool, gear up for the battle. There is nothing wrong or unusual about the struggle of doubt or not trusting in God, just as long as we don't let it become our lifestyle. It is what we do about it that can be wrong. Therefore, we need to know how to wrestle with disbelief and doubt in a way that we will win the battle. The good that comes out of this is that we will learn to depend on God and realize there are battles we cannot win on our own. We need His strength, His power, His grace to help us overcome what seeks to destroy us. Christians fight a spiritual battle of some kind every day. If it's not doubt, then it's something else. We are fighting against the schemes of the evil one, the temptations of this world, and our own sinful nature. While on this earth, we want to fight in God's army and watch as He wins many battles for us. But we still must do our part. Get on the armor of God so you won't be wounded with doubt and a lack of trust when the world gets crazy around you. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. In order to understand how we can fight the battle against doubt and mistrust of God, let's get into a bit more depth of what the full armor of God means. First of all, put it all on, all of the armor of God. Then we will have the spiritual strength, along with the power of God and the Holy Spirit, to stand in the ways of God. We can stand in trust and not fall to doubt. This battle is a conflict with Satan in the spiritual realm. In order to be the soldiers that God wants us to be, we must follow all his instructions faithfully and carefully. Then we will be able to stand and have victory regardless of Satan's strategy against us. God is always more powerful in all situations than Satan. God always wins in his timing and in his ways. We want to be those winners in the battles that are set before us. This is what glorifies God. The armor of God. First, the belt of truth. We must know God's word so we can know his truth. Satan is the father of lies, so he will make the battle with us to believe in deception as to why we should doubt. His strategy is to wound us with not trusting in God's truth when we encounter difficulties. Continually committing to reading God's word, studying it, memorizing it, meditating upon it, and praying in accordance to it is the belt of truth that holds all else together. This is all about fighting the lies, the deception of doubts, with God's absolute truth. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. In battle, a breastplate shielded a warrior's vital organs from blows that would otherwise be fatal. Well, what does this mean in the spiritual battle we are in? It means we wear the righteousness of Christ we received by faith, which guards our hearts against all the accusations Satan brings against us that causes us to doubt. Then we can be drastically wounded in our walk with God because we don't trust him. If our heart keeps bleeding with doubt, then our trust in God can eventually die. And this is exactly what Satan wants so he can win the battle against us. Third, feet fitted with the gospel of peace. We prepare our feet for spiritual conflict. Satan's obstacles are put in our battlefield. He sets traps for us, such as the trap of doubt, the trap of distrusting God. The message of the gospel God wants us to give to others cannot bring about the eternal fruit if we ourselves are full of doubt and mistrust of the very Savior we proclaim to believe in. Why should others trust him if we don't? Why should our children, family, friends, the unsaved believe in a God that we ourselves don't have the faith to trust in, believe in? That's quite different than having absolute faith so we can be the example of faith towards others. Fourth, the shield of faith. This is our shield that keeps all the flaming arrows of doubt and deceit from entering our hearts and staying in our lives that Satan shoots at us. Satan can shoot all the deadly arrows he wants at us, but this shield that God has given us keeps away the doubts that make us ineffective as God's soldiers. Our faith in the author and perfecter of our faith keeps the arrows from wounding our faith. Fifth, the helmet of salvation. This is our protection against wrong, destructive thoughts that cause us to doubt. The way we think needs to be protected. God's helmet of salvation helps us have the capability to discern between spiritual deceit and spiritual truth. As believers, we know doubt is a deceptive strategy of the evil one against us. God protects us from this by the helmet of salvation that keeps spiritual truths within our minds. We don't want the so-called spiritual truths of deception to go in there. Sixth, sword of the Spirit. The powerful sword God gives us to fight off the doubts the evil one wants us to try to believe in that can destroy us with the Word of God. Here we are back to God's Word. The belt of truth was all about knowing God's truth. The sword of the Spirit is about offense in the battle. Instead of being on the defense, we are going toward the battle with the power of all of God's Word, whatever scriptures we need to go forward with trust instead of retreat with doubt. So remember, the powerful sword of the Spirit is what God gives us to fight off all the doubts He wants us to have when it comes to any of anything God says about His Word. It's so important that Jesus Himself used the sword of the Spirit in the battle against Satan in the desert. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left, and behold, the angels came and began to minister to him. The Word of God will always overpower any of Satan's schemes against us in any battles we have. This is why memorization is very powerful. Whenever we battle with doubt, or anything for that matter, we can start quoting God's truth in place of wrong thoughts we are struggling with. In addition to putting on the full armor of God, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Along with all of the above, God tells us to pray in the Spirit. This means when we pray with the mind of Christ, with His priorities. We are praying for God's will to be done and not ours, as Jesus taught us how to pray. So in addition to putting on the full armor of God, we are not to neglect prayer according to His will. Every soldier needs strength during a battle, and one way we as Christians draw strength from God is through prayer, continual prayer, persistent prayer. Without prayer, without reliance on God, no matter what our battle is, our own human efforts can be weakened. It is through persistent prayer, quoting God's word, remembering His truth and promises that help us win the battle that Satan fights against us. With our God, with our faithfulness to His ways, many battles will be fought and won, not just for us as individuals, but for those we love. Fourth tool, choose to trust. Let's end this last tool with scriptures. These are meant to encourage us to choose to trust in God instead of doubt in Him. Perhaps pick a couple of your favorite verses, write them down in a scripture memorization notebook or 3x5 cards to put in a recipe file box or whatever. And then try to be diligent about memorizing them. Let these replace your negative thought patterns on doubting God. Your brain will be far stronger when you think about the truth of God's word instead of weakening it by dabbling in doubt. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Romans 10:17. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 42:5. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:17-27. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. Lamentations 3:22-24. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Isaiah 40:28-29. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. Naaman 1:7. Last of all, let's balance out doubt and trust. Realistic caution along with discernment can be a wise and good practice to follow. There are definitely some things we should doubt. There are situations or teachings we should not trust. At times, we need to let go of believing someone will stop abuse or other harmful choices. There is a saying, I'll believe it when I see it. This is meant for the gullible, who continue to walk with a person or stay stuck in situations that are continually dangerous or evil. On the other hand, what's not good is when we demand evidence or a total understanding of why God does or doesn't do something, or we will refuse to trust Him. It's not good to judge God or give God ultimatums or have a sense of entitlement, or else we will doubt Him. We don't demand God prove Himself to us because we disagree with Him. and therefore we'll have more trust in our own way of thinking instead of His. Nor do we demand evidence, explanations, proof, persuasions, realistic answers, etc., while having no intent of believing or trusting regardless of the evidence or anything else. John 5, verses 39 through 40. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Let's quickly recap the four tools to embracing trust. First tool, look at the sky. Second tool, persistent prayer. Third tool, gear up for the battle. Fourth tool, choose to trust. To trust means to approve of, agree with, and hold close. This is what we do with God when we choose to trust instead of doubt. Thanks for listening. Please share this info because we love the Word of God. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.